All right, so welcome. Today we are interviewing Dr. T. Nguyen. She is the CEO of Pacific Point Podiatry down in Santa Cruz, California. And she is a direct specialty care practice. She's fellowship trained in wound healing and board certified in minimal invasive surgery. And she is specializing in her practice in functional medicine, which is really just helping people walk, without pain through a really holistic approach. She also does coaching with Dr. T, and she's hosting a direct care, the Direct Care Way podcast. So she talks a lot about, getting into her direct care practice and coaches people for that goal. Much like the philosophy of Marie Kondo, she's helping physicians tidy up their medical practice so that they can experience more joy and less stress taking care of patients. I absolutely love the way you describe your coaching. Welcome, Dr. T.
Thank you. I totally just made that within the first 30 seconds of meeting with you.
I love that. It's fantastic. So it sums it up very nicely.
So there's always an evolution, and I feel like this has been the best descriptor of direct care is it's really tidying up how we run our medical practice because I did come from an insurance-based practice. So I'm really
Yes.
excited to be able to talk to you about that.
Yeah. So tell us kind of your background, like, kind of where you started into private practice and like, how you got from there to here.
I did my 3 years residency training in Michigan. My husband's a general surgeon, so he did his training for 5 years. So we were kind of on this parallel path of just getting our education in and then getting a job. That was our
Yeah.
mentality. I
Yeah.
had gone off to fellowship just to be surrounded by more people who were engaged in the same kind of academic rigor that I was interested in. And, when you jump into academia, you think you're going to persist in academia. And so that's really what I thought life was going to be. I had a lot of job opportunities that was going to take me around the world. And we both decided to kind of just shift over to where our hometown is in California. And so we both took a job. And then taking that job, I was in it for not even like a year and a half. And then I realized I'm just not the employable type
Yes.
because, and it's so hard for me to realize that now, in my late 30s, 40s. To just be building my career towards working for somebody else. It was just the most wildest realization where I was like, I don't think I like this. This
Right.
is kind of dumb.
Yeah.
So
Yep. I can relate.
I did the thing that we were all conditioned to do because throughout residency, all of my mentors, even the one who owned a private practice, were influencing us to just take a job because private practice was hard,
Yeah.
reimbursements was declining, life was different. And
Yeah.
these are well-seasoned private practice owners who saw the transition from working, just getting paid cash and then moving into managed care and then seeing
Yeah.
what the dynamics is now. So
Yeah.
they were really looking out for us when they said private practice is kind of dead. You really just want to get the job, get all the skills, you need surgical experience. And so I kind of fell into kind of a trap
Yeah.
into like a limited mindset. When I took this job at an associate, I was so eager. I was so happy to be in a beach town. I was so happy to be amongst other doctors to run ideas by. Like that networking was so valuable to me. And then I got pregnant, and then things started to kind of wither away. I would suggest certain things for the practice, and I was trying to drive my own brand in a direction.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to do when you work for somebody else. And I didn't realize
Absolutely.
it, but working for somebody else meant that I was working towards someone else's goal. I was really fulfilling their dream. And it was really hard for me to realize that because I was like, I thought it was my dream to be employed, right? To get a paycheck every 2 weeks. But there was just this creative problem solving side of me that was really unfulfilled. And then I got pregnant. And so I think things just kind of magically fell into place.
Yeah.
Where we both realized I wasn't fit for what they were looking for. And I really wanted to create something of my own that I can claim that's my own and be really proud of, but
Yeah.
also have the flexibility to be a mom. So then I opened up Pacific Point Podiatry in 2016.
Okay. Okay. And then when did you decide to go direct care? 'Cause you were insurance first, correct?
I did the thing that everybody told me to do, and including medical consultants, they said, just get on all the insurance plan and then patients will just come flooding to your door.
Right.
So I
Hang
got
your
into
shingle,
every single
right?
plan. Yeah. And I was
Yeah.
like, Sounds logical. Let's do it. So I did
Sure.
that. In the first year, wow, my expenses just blew over my head. I thought that I needed to take out a loan to run this type of practice, which I did. I thought I had to buy all of the nice equipment to ensure that I was a modern practice. So I did that. I thought I had to hire a full staff of people before I even got full, to create the impression or the energy that you are already successful. So I was basically living in the future, preparing for the future. And people also advise, you want to get into a space that you can grow into rather than move around. So I took all the traditional advice, right? None of it worked. None of it worked.
Funny how that happens. Yeah.
I was like, but it wasn't like I listened to people, and I think that was kind of my mistake, to not listen to myself, was to do what other people were doing, because I thought that was the shortcut to success. I thought if I followed somebody else who had helped other doctors, that would set me free. But the exact opposite happened. I was going into debt. I was spending a lot of money really fast, and then suddenly I couldn't pay off my credit card loans. I couldn't pay off my monthly credit card bills. They were stacking up. Interest was
Oh,
mounting.
that's
And this was the
terrifying.
first time I felt so much shame that I couldn't do it. I had left a practice feeling like I could do better, right? I went with this ego. I ran with this delusion that I could do it. Reality hit me in the face and said, maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe you need a humble pie, and realize it is very hard. And so I was like, what am I supposed to do at this point? Shut down and file bankruptcy? My husband's attached to my loan, but I created all this myself. All this money was on me. So then I had to reevaluate and really think about, like, how can I get myself out? I really didn't know how to get myself out of what felt like quicksand. Like, I was stuck. I was committed. I had this 10-year term on my business loan. I had my other educational loan that I was paying for as well. Like, this is all me. And then I was like, okay, well, if I'm gonna file bankruptcy, I might as well try one last thing and see if I can make it work. And then I'll call it quits if it doesn't. So it became a necessity to figure out how to make money and to not spend so much. And so I was like, okay, last ditch effort. Let's just drop insurance. I see other people doing it. Plastic surgery is doing it. Dermatology is doing it. I met podiatrists doing it. Ortho, and I just started to learn from other people. Functional medicine doctors, that's a normal thing. Naturopathic doctors, chiropractors, physical
Chiropractors,
therapy,
There's a lot of other specialties.
acupuncturists.
This is what they do.
I know. And I was like, dentistry, there is dental insurance, but so many of them were leaving. And I was like, we can do this. Podiatry can do this. We have the upper hand. We can choose to live in the hospital and do hospital work if we wanted to. We can choose to do home health care, mobile visits. Like, we can design our practice however we wanted.
That's the
And
beauty.
I really wanted an easy practice where I can just go to work, do what I need to do, explore my creative problem-solving skills, and then clock out and be home with my kid. That's just all I really wanted. So that's how I decided to drop out of insurance. I was like, there's got to be something better than quitting. Let's just try one more thing and then reevaluate.
I can appreciate that. So, I mean, what are I mean, obviously there's definitely some struggles that come along with this. What were some of the kind of initial struggles, maybe when you started insurance, both that and direct care, like in terms of being a business owner, what were some of the real talk struggles that like you had? Maybe things you wish you had known about.
I think a lot of us go into private practice thinking we need to do everything, believing that we have to hustle really hard to make it work. And people glamorize working 40, 80 hours a week.
Yeah,
And
the
they
hustle
equate that
culture.
hard work with success. Like, you're not successful unless your schedule is full, unless you're burning out, unless you're pouring your soul into your business. Like, that is a really weird ass culture, to
It
be
really
frank.
is.
And
It
I,
really is.
and that
Agreed.
was my upbringing, because that was my upbringing, not just in the way we were trained, because you really had to hustle to get a position in residency, right? You really had to like claw your way to the top, to show that you are the best. And that carries a lot of trauma on its own, but the way that I was raised, there's not just the cultural medical situation we put ourselves in to be the best and to get that residency program, to get the best job, to get, make the most money, right? But there's also a cultural upbringing as the first generation American-born Vietnamese American in my family and in my husband's family. We carry the burden of our parents. They came here in survival mode. They didn't know English. They didn't have a job. They didn't know what was going to come their way. They just knew they were leaving something far worse. They came here for opportunity. But they never left that mindset of scarcity, of trying to survive. They never really got into the mode of thriving, asking for help, seeking, resources for themselves. They just didn't have that. But this day and age, we have everything possible at our fingertips to help us thrive. We have AI, we have virtual assistants, we have people, we have women in leadership positions showing us what's possible for women. And so I think my hardship was realizing that I really needed to be vulnerable and reach out for help. I didn't have to do everything myself. It made me feel good that I can accomplish so much on my own, but I'm in my 40s and I'm starting to burn out. I'm withering away. And my energy and my focus is far more divided now than ever. And I just don't have the capacity I did when I was in my 20s. So I really had to be real with where I am now in my energy mode, but also what's prioritized in my life right now. So asking for help was really hard, but I had to get over myself. And recognizing what my deficiencies were, because I guess I'm not good at everything, it turns
Yeah, I
out.
mean, none of us are, and that's something I always tell people too, is it's like, look, don't try to be your own CPA, don't try to be your own attorney, don't try, like, there are people that went to school for this. Like, we don't need to know all of those things as business owners. And I think that's something that, because of how we're brought up in medicine, that we're on the hook, like the ball stops with us, that like everything that we do is going to come back to us. We feel like we have to have that responsibility for everything. And it's just not true. Like, if you didn't go to school for it, let somebody who's an expert in it do it. There's nothing wrong with that. But I get it. Like, I feel like that's a thing that all of us fight with. So I guess, what do you love about owning your own business at this point, like with where you're at right now?
I love that I'm not falling into other people's patterns. I love that I'm creating my own pattern, my own design. This practice was made perfectly for me. I can show up when I want to. I can suddenly block the schedule and do a podcast like this if I
I
wanted
love that.
to. If something happens with my daughter, like I'm free to rearrange my schedule versus asking permission for time off. And there's a saying that goes, PTO, the time that you earn, it's not really called paid time off. It's you're just giving warning to other people to be prepared that you're not going to be there. So I hate it. Like, this is just a warning that I'm not going to be here. However you cover the space, it's not really up to me. It's not my business. And so that's how I thought about my time. My time is my time. I don't want to have to ask permission 3 months in advance to block this vacation time that I have. There are just things that come up, and I just want to control in my time. And I think, each day that we live, we have less of it. And so I'm thinking about how valuable it is to have time, and not just time, but energy too. And that was the whole reason I started my practice. I didn't want to create a practice I got sucked into and think about day and night, even though it might seem like that in the beginning. But I really wanted to just control my day-to-day activities. I wanted to breathe on my time. I wanted to eat on my time. I wanted to see patients.
Use the bathroom on your time. Yeah, all those concepts we
I was
lost
going
in
to say,
residency. Oh, yeah. And so now you decided to start coaching people specifically on direct care. So where did that decision come in for you?
I had gone through other coaching programs, which I really appreciate. I learned so much on how to think like a business owner, but there was a huge deficiency. There wasn't somebody who really understood what it meant to be a woman running a business. Most of them were men and they had great things to teach us, but I never felt connected. I never felt like they truly understood the pressures that women experience. Like, they'll say things like, oh, you just go straight to work and focus on the one thing. And I'm thinking that's a freaking luxury for you to be able to think about just the one thing, just work. But did you forget that the world puts the burden on us to do house chores, to take care of the kids, to manage the emails that come from the school, which seems endless at times? The expectation that you also have to be present for your partner and sexually present for your partner, that is an energy load on its own, right? And all of these things, we have to multitask. But I never felt heard. I never felt seen that that was what we were fighting against. Their solution was always, oh, just focus on work and you'll get there. You'll make your seven figures. And I'm like, you did because you had the marital support.
Right at home,
Whereas
yes.
at home, like you forgot what it took to keep the house clean, right? But
Yeah.
I'm in a position where I'm also married to another physician. So this is a two-physician household. So we both have competing priorities. We both value our work, but we also value our home life too. And so it's like, how do we prioritize all that? So I can go off on a tangent as to why I started my coaching program, which had a lot to do. It really had a lot to do with the needs that I wish I had. And I kind of just wish I was heard, to be honest. And I think having the lens of a woman with all of those societal expectations gave me a different perspective as to what I have to offer for other women who are looking for a flexible job, who don't want to succumb to what insurance is mounting to, and really just to reclaim our life and say, you know what, people may expect things of us, but this is what I'm actually going to do. And that's it. And I wanted to be that voice for our future generation, particularly for podiatrists, because again, I feel like we have such a diversity in how we can create our practice
Yeah, it's a
that it
really
doesn't
unique
have to be,
opportunity.
yeah, we don't have to succumb to the expectation of our male counterparts. Yeah, they have a lot of valuable things to offer, but ultimately they're not pressured in the way women are pressured as a physician, as a business owner, as a mom. But that's why I created Coaching with T.
It is very different, and I think that's such an important thing to bring up. I too have done multiple coaching groups, and I've gotten such great things from every coach that I've worked with. I think my current coach is a female, and that has been the first time that I have worked with a female coach, and it is night and day difference for me, right? Because I definitely feel that I am getting, my needs met better. And sometimes it's just that accountability to make sure that we are putting ourselves in front of all of these other priorities, which also carries a ton of guilt for women about doing. Like, we're the caregivers, we want to make sure everything else is taken care of. And then we remember to go to the bathroom. And it's like, that's not okay.
Yeah.
Like, you can't go 9 hours before you think about yourself. I totally agree with you. And I think it's just a different. It's kind of a different standard, unfortunately. And I think it's really great that, we're starting to see more and more female business coaches. I think it's really great. What is some of
Yeah.
the advice that you would give to somebody maybe who's in the place you were in where you were, kind of working for someone else, whether it's like a larger corporate medicine, hospital employment, or like a larger group who's kind of toying with the idea of, hey, I'm not sure that this is the best fit for me. Like, what advice would you have given yourself at that time?
I just say keep all doors open. You don't know when you're going to get fired. You don't know when the hospital system is going to shut down
True.
and then you have to find a job.
True.
I've talked to so many doctors who have reached out to me because they were given notification the day of. The day that they were notified was the day they had to let go, been let go. And it's not as hard as you think. Running a practice, at least in my eyes, running a direct care practice is a lot easier than running an insurance-based practice because you don't have these hoops to go through. You don't have to apply for insurances, wait 90 days or 9 months to get on credentialing board. And then you have, consenting for patients that we're going to bill your insurance and then you owe the balance and what's your deductible, like all those things that I had to learn on the way. Having a practice that's free of insurance actually is a lot easier when you prepare yourself for that. And so I would say just keep your options open and just pick up a book, listen to a podcast about business ownership. Because if you truly value your time, no one else is going to care about your time as much as you. And you don't have to ask yourself permission to take time off. And I think that's the biggest key point in owning your business is you get to do what you want to do with your time.
Yep. I will never forget when I had a surgery center administrator friend of mine who asked me once, she goes, "Why do you always operate on Fridays?" And I was like, "I, 'cause that's when we all did it in residency." And she goes, "Why though? Like, why do you want to get called all weekend? Why not operate on Tuesdays and take Fridays off?" And it changed my life. And I was already a private practice owner at that point. It was like my second year, and I hadn't really gotten into the mindset that, like, I do get to make these decisions. It was still all about, like, how do I get the practice going? How do I make the patients all happy? Like, I wasn't even at the point of considering myself yet. And then it turned into like such a cool, like, wow, yeah, I could take every Friday off. And I honestly, I've done that for the past like 6 years. I'm now down to like three and a half days a week, and it's great. Like, I'm still insurance based, but I got systems in place, and it works well for me. But I love that you're doing the direct care. Where can people find you? What would be the best way to contact you?
If you want to connect, I would love to chat more on LinkedIn. I think that is such a
Okay.
great physician space to just have conversations about business ownership versus employment. I came from
Yeah.
a place where I thought I was going to be employed. And when push comes to shove, I was like, I literally have no choice but to open my own practice. I was
Yeah.
not employable. I can't stand being told what to do. I had my own ambition, you know, like, and I
Yeah.
had a baby, like I had to figure stuff out on my own. And then I became a business owner. And then 6 years later, I was like, wow, I was actually not employable for a very long time.
Oh God,
Like,
I know that
way
realization hits hard.
before I had this. Dang, no one told me. I mean, they
No.
probably told me, but I wasn't listening. So anyway, let's keep the conversation going about private practice because you're going to hear from like 99% of the physician community that private practice is dead. And
Yep.
then you're going to hear another 99% of those in private practice say, you have to take insurance. And I'm here
Yeah.
to tell you, you don't have to listen to anybody. You
Right.
can choose to take it. You can choose not to take it. You can do a hybrid. Whatever you want, you can
Yeah.
make it. You just have to find the resources and the mentorship that can help guide you there. So you're not making a ton of mistakes in the beginning like I did.
Oh gosh, yeah. If I had the mentorship when I first started, I think I could have gotten there so much faster. It just you go through so many of those mistakes, and it's like if I'd had the opportunity to learn from other people's mistakes, and there was more of a one-on-one communication and accountability on that, it would have been such a different experience. I'm happy for the lessons I learned. Some of them were a little expensive, but I now get to pass that on to people to say, "Hey, don't do what I do." So, hey, one last thing I wanted to ask you, and I'm asking everybody, what are like one or two books that you would recommend, kind of as a business owner, or even for mindset or anything that you really feel were impactful for you?
You don't have to be a business owner to appreciate the book called Buy Back Your Time.
Oh, I love that
So if
one.
you're employed or
Yep.
you're in private practice with insurance or you have a direct care practice, buy back your time is an entire philosophy we all need to live by because we are living in an age of an abundance of resources where there are people willing to help. They want to help and they're an expert at those things that we're not so great at. And I wanted to just share a demonstration of how this really helped me. My husband and I got into a tiff about him wanting me to do more around the house.
Yeah.
And I was like, we've been together 20 plus years. And I was like, when did you think I would ever become this person to enjoy housework? And he's like, I don't enjoy it, but I do it. I'm like, good for you. Pat on the back. I'm still not doing it. You know, I will appreciate you doing it, right?
Right.
But why can't we? Let me just explore this real quick. Why can't we, you and I, with adult money, find somebody who likes to help with the laundry, with the house cleaning for $20 an hour, whatever it is,
Yeah.
so that we don't have to continue to argue about this for the next 20 years?
I love
So
this.
let's just think about
I
it.
love
Let's just think
this.
about it. And the reason I share this because that conversation for me was so impactful because I can just see him not get it. I can just see him live in the space of how he grew up, how we both grew up. You know, we saw our
Sure.
parents doing everything, our moms particularly, carrying the burdens that they didn't have the money to get help. But that doesn't mean we have to continue in our generational problems. that we have to continue to pass that on to our children and say we have to do everything. And then we have to bicker and have marital issues and spats about it. You know, just hire somebody and call it a day. And that book was so pivotal for me to realize that, yeah, we need to start delegating if we really want to have time together as a couple, as a parent. And I want to teach my daughter that when you work hard, you make money, you can solve a lot of problems with money, right? And he's still kind of in the space of, I want to show my daughter that you're still responsible for your own stuff. And we can both come kind of collide and say, yes, you have to take care of yourself, but also when you make adult money, when you get there, you can buy help.
Here's the things you get to do.
So
I love that.
anyway, I hope that was a fun story.
Yes.
And you know what? We've been talking about laundry problems for ages. So
I
anyway,
love this. I love that
time
you're
to
doing
change
this.
the direction.
And the buyback, that's Dan Martell, correct? I believe so.
Yes.
Yeah, it's that's such a
Yeah.
fabulous book. I love that one. I finished that not too long ago. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I know that the audience is really going to appreciate all of the insights that you give, and we'll make sure to put up your contact information and the contact for your podcast and everything. Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it.
I appreciate being here and being able to share what I care so deeply about. And y'all, if you know my husband, please tell him I appreciate him. I love him.
I love that. All right. We'll talk to you later, Dr. T. Bye.
Thanks.